Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our service this morning, and a special welcome to any visitors that are with us. Remember, tea and coffee will be served in the large hall after the service, and I hope as many as possible will be able to join us for further fellowship. A slimmer trade craft stall will be open for visitors again this morning. This year, the Holy Week services are being held here in St. Paul's at 7:30 each evening. The theme is Words from Jesus on the Cross, and the services will take place Monday to Friday, be led by one of our local ministers. On Saturday morning, there will be a short service starting at 9:30 in the United Free Church. The Walk of Witness will start at the clock in the precinct at 11 o'clock on Friday, concluding with refreshments in the Allender Church. We hope as many of you as possible will be able to join us at one or more of these events in this important week in the Christian calendar. Remember, neighbours, friends, family, friends are all very welcome to attend any of these services or the Walk of Witness. It's my pleasure this morning to welcome the Reverend John Wilson to St Paul's. John served as an engineer before being called to the ministry and was minister at Temple Annisland for a number of years before retiring. John is a member of St Luke's, but will not hold that against him. John, welcome back to St Paul's, and we look forward to hearing God's word this morning from you. Welcome.
Thank you very much indeed for your welcome. It is a pleasure to come and to worship with you this morning. The psalmist said, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Let us worship God as we sing together in our opening item of praise in the hymn book number 364, "Glory, Lord, and Honour to You, Redeemer King." Let's now come before God and let us share in prayer together. Let us pray. We sang those words in our approach to worship, "All glory, Lord, and honour to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. You are the King of Israel, great David's royal son, now in the Lord's name coming, the King and Blessed One." Heavenly Father, as we enter your presence in prayer, we come on this day to keep the precious memory of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. He rode into that city to the cries of Hosanna and the cheering of the people. We ask that we might let the King of Glory enter into our hearts, that we may know the triumph of his presence with us each day of our lives. Father, we praise you and lift your name on high above all others. We rejoice knowing that you care for and love each one of us. We can only stand in awe and wonder at your graciousness and your love towards us. Lord, as we come to praise you, enable us to put aside all our worldly cares and focus our minds upon you, to praise you for the times you have been with us, the times you have protected us. And there is no other God that can and will ever be able to do what you do for us. So we come to you in prayer. We would want to lift up your name on high. You walked that road that was to lead to your death. Lord, give us grace to love and follow you, to hold nothing back of ourselves, but only to serve you. Lord, look down upon us, your people, and be with us as we now pray together, as you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm delighted to see some young folk, and I brought a friend with me. Would you like to meet my friend? It's double wrapped. This is Sam. He's quite shy. It's all right. No problem. Turn round. Yeah, there's a lot of people, yeah? It's all right. It's a big place. Yeah. But you asked to come and tell a story. And I want you to behave. And I want you to tell the story. Okay? Yeah. Well, the story I want to tell you happened to me. I was sitting in the church, and the minister began to talk and talk and talk. And my mind went into a whirl, and I felt I was floating. On with the story. And so I suddenly discovered I was lying in the middle of a road. I looked round about me. I didn't recognise the houses. They all had flat roofs. And then I looked round and I saw a donkey. And I saw a colt. And the wee donkey said, Mum, can I not let somebody ride in my back? No, said his mum, you can't. You're not strong enough yet. Nearly, but not yet. And I stepped out from behind the shadows and said, I'm not very heavy, can I ride on his back? And his mum said, okay, Trotty, you can take him on your back. And I was on it for a wee while, and then we came back and we heard our men's voices, and they said, the king needs this donkey. And they started to untie Trotty, and they began to bray, and then his mum was untied, and the two of them started to walk down the road. And then this man climbed on his back, and he started to walk down this road. And people began to cheer, they began to shout, and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the people followed. And followed him all the way down, right into Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting in the church again, and the minister was still talking. But I've never forgotten that moment. When I remember Jesus on a donkey walking down that road. The people then shouted, Hosanna. Well, we're not going to shout Hosanna. We're going to sing Hosanna. And we're going to sing it together in just a moment. Hosanna, what's it? Hosanna, loud Hosanna. That's it. Well, let's turn to the scriptures. And I had either a senior moment or intellectual overload, but the reading is not Luke 24, but John chapter 12. Luke 24 is next week. John chapter 12, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, and reading there from verse 12. John chapter 12, reading from verse 12. Let us read the Word of God. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him had continued to spread the word that he had called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. Let us pray. On this day we have come to praise and glorify you, but Lord, these are words are as nothing if we have not confessed our sinfulness. Lord, you are the fountain of all goodness, and you know the thoughts in our hearts even before we speak them. Therefore, it is right that we should confess that we have sinned against you and other people. Father, we ask that in these moments of silence, you would allow us to confess our sins before you as we mention them in our own hearts. Heavenly Father, you have heard us, and we ask that in your love you will forgive us and give us grace and power to be rid of all that has been done in the past, that we may now go forward worthy of your forgiveness to then serve you day by day, that we may then reveal Jesus in all that we do and say. And for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue to sing in Mission Praise number 356, Meekness and Majesty. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, speak to us through your word, that we might know you better, love you more, and serve you in our lives day by day. Amen. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 12 and the verses that we read. I feel after a week of uncertainty over Brexit, and still no definite result, it's just wonderful to be in God's house on Palm Sunday, where we have the certainty of why we are here. We have come to worship and we have come to glorify God. We are gathered together and rejoice as God's children as we remember the events recorded in the passage that we read. At that time, their journey must have been full of excitement as they were making their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. The closer they got to Jerusalem, there was probably an increasing sense of anticipation and excitement. And likewise, that ought to be our feeling as we stand on the threshold of Holy Week. At the end of their journey to Jerusalem, at the end of our journey through Holy Week, Yes, we may mourn at the thought of what happened on the Friday, but we will rejoice again next Lord's Day. As Jesus died on the cross, but he rose again. And that death on the cross and his resurrection are important in our faith. And this journey into Jerusalem was the start of a remarkable week in the life of Jesus and all who saw him. Many years ago, Elizabeth, my wife, and I attended the Oberammergau Passion Play. The play has as its opening scene the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, the event that we are focusing on today. But even there, if you're in the audience, you can almost feel yourself being caught up in the excitement of the crowd depicting that triumphal entry. And the excitement for us today must be found in our faith. Our minds should be focused on the centrality of the cross. And so with that in mind, I would like us to concentrate on the fact that this journey would eventually lead us to discover that the centrality of the cross was important to ordinary people. And if we do that, then we'll see the relevance of it to our own situation and to our own lives. And so from this passage we discover the respect given to Jesus. There are three groups of people mentioned here. They are the Pharisees, the disciples, and the crowd. And considering what we read, a question we might ask is, which of these groups respected Jesus? It's easy to identify that the crowd paid their respect. They were shouting Hosanna, and they were putting their cloaks as well as the palm branches down on the road to welcome and praise Jesus on that journey. It might also appear that those who were doing this were those who were travelling down that same road into Jerusalem. They'd come from all over the country to attend the feast. However, whilst they were there, they were also paying their respect to this itinerant preacher and teacher. I wonder if we have lost sight of this event. If we've lost the idea of what it was all about. Yes, we get hyped up about our special services. And yes, rightly, we encourage people to come and hear the gospel. But you know, one commentator I read said, the nearer the temple of the Lord, the further from the Lord of the temple. If we get so caught up in church, we sometimes miss Christ. All our celebrations are not about the church and services, or about celebrations. It's about Christ. It's about what he did for us. And it would seem that some of the native population of Jerusalem were unfazed by this Jesus, and they carried on as normal. They were setting up their stalls for the pilgrims to come and buy artifacts and mementos of their visit to Jerusalem, just as tourist places do today. They set up stalls that we will buy things from them. It was the people coming in from afar who had seen and heard Jesus before. And they were walking with him. And they were overjoyed and excited. And the excitement was at such a level that they couldn't contain themselves. And they were eager to see him. They were eager to hear him and to hear what he had to say. They may not have had any inkling of what was to happen at the end of that week. At that moment, the crowd rejoiced in being so close to Jesus at that moment in time. But notice, it was not the ecclesiastical leaders of the local temples who went to meet Jesus. It was the ordinary people. In today's terms, we might say it's not former moderators. It's not cardinals, bishops, or ministers that went to meet Jesus. It was the members of congregations. These ecclesiastical leaders showed scant respect for Jesus, and so they were not seen in the crowd who were rejoicing. It's clear that it was the disciples and the people who heard and believed in him, who respected him, who wanted to be with him. These were the same people at the end of the week who would follow him right to the cross. And therefore we can see the centrality of the cross to the individual and to the whole of Christianity, that it was ordinary people, people like you and me, who responded to the Messiah on that day. We said they showed their respect. We might ask, in what way did they show their respect? There is no doubt that we have this picture of a wonderful extravaganza of jubilation in this event. And I'm sure if that celebration was to take place today in America, there would be laser lighting, there would be ticker tape processions, cavalcades of cars, marching bands. Had it been in Britain, we'd have designated a route, lined it with police and army personnel, along with barriers to keep people away from this important person. The household cavalry would be out. The bands of the military would be playing. Way disassociated from the people. How different when Jesus came. In this instance, what made the whole thing so special was how ordinary it was. No magnificent horse, drawn carriage, just a simple, ordinary donkey. We should remember that up until that point, the donkey he was sitting on had never been ridden before. Such was God's influence that that untrained donkey allowed Jesus to sit on its back. The people who were there changed from simply being a crowd heading for a temple feast to become a crowd who were part of a triumphal march to declare the arrival of the coming Messiah. Their journey changed from an ambling column of people to a triumphal procession. When the news reached the city of Jerusalem as to who was coming, they had already arrived, made their way back out of the city, grabbing the palm branches where they could, standing in lining and putting it down like a red carpet. I wonder, I sometimes thought it was just that happened to be the tree that was handy that they used. But I discovered that the palm branch is a symbol of victory and rejoicing. Its evergreen foliage and wealth of delicious fruit are compared with righteousness. And therefore the palm tree is an extremely important visual aid as to what was happening. Hence the connection between the plant and its symbolism can be applied to Jesus. He came in a victorious procession with the people who were rejoicing at his coming. However, later in the week, they were to be part of another crowd who would condemn this righteous man to death. Nevertheless, not only were they waving palm branches, they were all shouting. Verse 13 says, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel. It's clear there was a party atmosphere, as these people were rejoicing that their Messiah had come. And as far as they were concerned, everything now was going to change. Today we must recognize that the Messiah has been. And we need to remember, the Messiah will come again. And until that time, we are to worship him. And that we do through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can rejoice in what the Messiah has done for us. Are we happy? And are we rejoicing on this glorious triumphal day when we remember how Jesus rode into Jerusalem? Or is it just another Sunday? For the Christian, this is an important day to remember. And we should be shouting this important day, Hosanna, because Jesus came. And so we want to tell the world. We've looked at how people respected Jesus. We also note that Christ's action made them want to respect him. We can only imagine from the pictures that we see how Jesus might have looked. I get slightly annoyed sometimes. I know I shouldn't, but Jesus is always portrayed as a gaunt, thin, weak character. I believe as Jesus was a well-built man. The way he's projected, he couldn't have lifted a pail of water, let alone a beam to use in his carpentry. Jesus, at that moment, may have been tired. He may have been under stress, as he knew what was about to happen to him. It was clear that the events were going to overtake him, and we can see him in our mind's eye sitting on this donkey, his legs maybe dangling and trailing along the ground. This was the man that was supposed to be a king. And at that moment, he did not look like the leader they were expecting. Was this man truly the Messiah? And yet it seems that the ordinary people who were not concerned about what he looked like, they were simply rejoicing at his coming. We also note from this passage that even the select group of disciples at times were not sure about everything that was happening. Nevertheless, when we consider the fact that God's kingdom is not of this world, maybe it's right that he didn't come with pomp and circumstance. Jesus did not seek out such an entrance. But what he did was to fulfill the person God asked him to be. And he did it all under God's leading. I read that leadership is something that people look for and desire in people who hold positions of authority and responsibility. And I wonder, when we look at our country, have we any leadership? Our MPs seem to be in total disarray over Brexit. We don't know where it's all going to end. Someone once said that just as important as credibility for people is to believe in a person is simplicity. Simplicity includes the leadership qualities that we need. That we don't become embroiled and entangled and confused in a web of power. There needs to be clarity. There needs to be a clarity of purpose in the midst of the most devious scheming. We are not to live many different lives, but one consistent life. The person at work, at leisure, in the church or elsewhere, should be the same person. We're to live uncomplicated lives. And that's exactly what Jesus did. To these people, Jesus' previous actions spoke volumes. His whole attitude and his whole demeanor made Jesus someone to admire, someone to respect. And these people saw that they had respected that man, reminding us of the centrality of the cross and how it leads us not so much to an event. It led them, and it leads us to a person. A person that we all respect. And that person is Jesus and what he did in the cross. Jesus reminds us that this was not his choice to have such a celebration as he arrived in Jerusalem, but that of the people who were following him. However, more than that, we must realize that it all happened to fulfill Scripture. We read there in verse 14, Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. And as is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." The latter part there of verse 15 is a quotation from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. We also note that his journey was slow and deliberate. The donkey or colt is not the fastest mode of transport on four legs, but certainly was the most sure-footed. And so the Messiah, the King of Kings, comes, as we said, not in a charger, but slowly and deliberately on a donkey, that people could reach out to him. It made him accessible to the people. They could see him and they could talk to him. And there are times when a slow and deliberate approach to God through the faithful preaching of a committed pastor makes us have a greater awareness of God rather than the instant realization through mass evangelism, which can on some occasions soon wear off. I recall a situation where there had been a long, faithful ministry and very little was happening in that congregation. And when the minister retired, a new young minister arrived, and soon a number of people had come to faith. This was the harvest of the former minister's work, fulfilling scripture where some will sow and others will reap. The faithful church member who comes to faith rejoices because, like the disciples, when all that they have seen and heard in the past suddenly falls into place and makes sense, it becomes a reality. It is then that we see how the central role of the cross influences the lives of those who love and who follow Jesus. Week by week we search and come to know the certainty of our faith. And so it will grow and develop. And then we will become more effective witnesses for him. Jesus came to fulfill scripture. We discover not only did Jesus have the respect of the people, Jesus had the respect of the disciples. You will notice in verse 16, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. It encourages us to note the imperfection of the disciples. Even though the disciples had seen and heard so much, there were times when they still were uncertain. And so John is revealing not only their imperfections, but he was also showing ours as well. It exposes the times that we have maybe had a lack of faith or a time of doubting. What one of us has at some point not doubted when we've had some trouble in our lives, when things have not gone the way we wanted? Well, let me share with you two thoughts concerning doubt. One by a man called Max Lucado. He said, "Clouds of doubt are created when the warm, moist air of our expectations meets the cold air of God's silence. The problem is not so much in God's silence as our inability to hear." Or as Oswald Chambers put it, "Doubt is not always a sign that man is wrong. It may be a sign that he's thinking." And that latter thought is true of so many people. Our doubts are maybe when we start thinking, but sometimes maybe we fail to hear. Yet, should the disciples have had doubts? After all, they knew far more than anyone else. They had been with him for so long. But what does it say there? "At first, his disciples did not understand all this." It was only when they realized what was happening that they began to see Jesus in a new light, and they slowly began to remember all they had heard and seen. And suddenly, it all falls into place. The centrality of the cross reminds us of the fulfillment of Scripture. And both people and disciples who were there were witness to the whole thing that took place. And today, we require to see through these words of Scripture what they saw. What we read about came to pass and it affects our lives today. We must come to realize that on that journey into Jerusalem and the events surrounding the cross and the death of Jesus are an integral part of our lives. And finally, what induced this respect? There was one event that had happened in the immediate past that caught the imagination of these people, revealed there in verse 17. The crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Yes, the Pharisees were concerned about this Jesus and all the things that he was doing that attracted attention. There was no doubt he was making an impact on people's lives and in the world. They were conscious that they were losing grip of the situation. And what did they say? Verse 19. See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. The raising of Lazarus from the dead outshone anything that the Pharisees could do. We, like the crowd, are then excited by this day. But Jesus knew where it was leading. And as we know now, in what we call Holy Week, he and we are on a journey that leads to the cross. Therefore, no matter what we do in our lives, we need to keep in mind that, as far as our faith is concerned, it doesn't matter how we came to the cross, but it's important that we realize the centrality of the cross is important in our faith. So as we go from church this morning, let us go rejoicing that the Messiah came and dwelt among us. And so I invite you throughout Holy Week to worship him at the many services that will take place, not just to be here, but to meet Jesus on this Palm Sunday. Let us cheer our hearts for Christ and look at our lives as we journey through this Holy Week. And let us ask ourselves, where is the cross in my life? I recall the words of a short hymn reminding us that having seen the cross, we will be bold and march forward in faith. So let this week and always, let us be people who can say we are marching in the light of God. We are living in the love of God. We are moving in the power of God. Let's go out today marching in the light of God, because the cross is at the very center of what we believe and why we do it. Let's march in the light of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us and be near us. Encourage us and help us to march, to live and to move in the light, love and power of you, our God and Saviour. Amen. Let's sing together in the hymn number 549, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Vast Beyond All Measure. Lord, on this day we come with thanksgiving for all that you have given to us. We thank you for our home, for our families, for food, because we are conscious of the many who have little or nothing in comparison to us. And therefore we present to you these, our gifts of money, and dedicate them to the glory of your kingdom here on earth. May they be used wisely to advance the proclamation of your word in this parish and community, as well as the wider work of the church at home and overseas. We give thanks as we have remembered that journey that Jesus made into Jerusalem. We thank you for the way in which you gave your Son to die that we might live. Lord, when we see how he was welcomed with open arms on this day all those years ago, and yet at the end of the week he was rejected, Father, help us to give thanks for his enduring love that has surrounded us. Lord, we come to remember the needs of others. We remember those serving you in other parts of the world, for those who are in difficult places where your word is not welcome. We remember the people who suffer for their faith physically, mentally, and occasionally sacrificially. We remember those in this congregation who are unwell at this time, and may they know the peace of God in their hearts. And may the healing hand of Jesus be stretched out to each and every one of them in healing. We do remember Fergus and Gabrielle and the family at this time. We thank you that you are with them and that you will bless them and all the family. Lord, we pray for those who have been bereaved. May they know the comfort and reassurance of your presence with them. But above all, Lord, on this day we thank you for your Son, our Lord and Saviour. And may your blessing be upon all who are gathered here today, now and always. Amen. We close our time of worship by saying our closing hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Hymn 449. Go out into the world in peace and in love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and forevermore.